You're listening to the Camp Nation podcast. Find us online at campnation.ca.
Welcome to the Camp Nation podcast number 16, the one with a boot in our mouth. Today's episode features our discussion on leaving staff wanting more. Good day and welcome to Camp Nation number 16 for the month of August. My name is Travis Allison, and I'm the social media manager at Our Kids Media, and I was a camp director for 15 years at Glenmore Camp and Cairn in Muskoka, Ontario.
Hi, my name is Dave Bell. I am the camping services director for the YMCA of Greater Charlotte and also the co-founder of CampLeadership.org, an idea of resource sharing for camp professionals.
And my name is Joe Richards. I'm the executive director at Pierce Williams Christian Center, which is a summer camp and retreat facility in southwestern Ontario.
Awesome. Welcome, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Dave, thank you for joining us. We're excited to have you on. We've tried once before to get you on and hope it's something that you'll enjoy and come back to, because I think you got a lot to add to the camp conversation. For those who don't know all of the cool things that you do, Dave, can you tell us what you do?
Yes. In September of 2009, I was hired with the YMCA of Greater Charlotte in Charlotte, North Carolina, to be the camping services director. And with that job, I work with our summer day camp programs, which we serve about 40,000 campers a year in the area. And then with our resident camp programs, which we serve about 5,000 of those. And then with our teen programs. And so my major focus is on staff development, program quality, and customer engagement as it revolves around summer camp life.
And colloquially, you sort of say you're the camp evangelist.
Yes, I am the camp evangelist. It is what I love, and it is what I do.
That's awesome. It's a great title.
Yeah.
So a pretty amazing position. What's your background in camping?
I started out as a day camp counselor working with middle school kids and with the YMCA and did that for a summer. And then after a few months, got hired full time, which brought me to a day camp director position, and was a day camp director for about 5 years. And then transitioned into resident camp and was a resident camp director for about 8 years, and then recently moved into this position. So this is my first summer in about 15 years when I have not been, you know, directly involved with a specific summer camp. So it's been a challenge, but it's been good too, to see a lot of different camps and how we do camp here in Charlotte.
So for the last few summers, you would have lived at camp then?
That's correct. Yeah, I lived on site and did the whole, summer camp 24/7 for, 10 or 12 weeks. So, yeah. And I don't know which I like best. There are things about, day camp and resident camp that I love, but I do like having my life back in the summer of not having to live at camp all year round.
Right. Well, it's also nice for us to have your perspective as a day camp person, because people have said to me and believe me, people, we hear you, that we're very res camp focused. Because the four of us who are regulars are all come out of residential programs. Mm-hmm. And so it's nice to get a day camp perspective. And it's something we hope to change, keep conscious of in our podcasting world is going forward. Yeah. So we want to make sure to have that day camp voice as well. So that's your why job. How did CampLeadership.org come about?
It's interesting. I am a very visual person. I learn visually, and so the internet and YouTube was just fantastic for me as far as getting my information. And so being a camp person, I was always looking for new songs, new games, and it's pretty much what I was becoming known for is, leading games and leading songs, but I always forgot them. And then I would go to a training, someone would lead them, and then they would hand me a worksheet that had the words to the song on it. And if I didn't remember the tune, all I had was an essay. And so I thought, man, if I could just record these things, I would remember them. And so I had this idea of a website that would just have games and songs that you could watch and see how they were played, see how they were sung. And so I sat on this idea for about a year, because I didn't have any technical knowledge at all. And a friend of mine and now, you know, business partner, Mike D'Averia, him and I were hanging out one afternoon, and I knew he had some technical expertise, but also had a strong camp background. And I mentioned the idea to him, and he said, wow, that's really doable. And so that afternoon, I already had the name Camp Leadership picked out. And so he went home, secured the domain name, and it got started that afternoon. That was late December of 2009. And I guess we actually launched in January of 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. So I basically made it for me. Yeah. I needed it.
That's great. Well, it's a great resource for the camping community. I mean, all the games and songs are one thing, but I really enjoy what you've done with the roundtable phone calls that you've recorded, and even videotaping some people's presentations from different, which I think are just from different Y events that.
Yeah, you've been to. It's been very interesting to see how it's grown. Just because whenever we have an idea, we're like, oh yeah, we could probably do this. And our original hope was that we wanted people to send us stuff. We knew we couldn't get everywhere, mm-hmm. and so our hope was that if someone was doing, you know, if Joe is doing a training at his camp, you know, before the summer, well, Joe videotape that. We'd love to share that, you know, with other people around the country. And so we've seen some of that, not as much as we had hoped. And so you see a lot of myself and Mike on there. But that was the idea of we would just take this stuff and just share it because it's good information that's out there and people need it.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, thank you for doing that for the community. I hope that you're getting appreciation for it, because I think it's a great resource and something that I reference all the time. And
thank you.
Great stuff coming out on Twitter too. So follow Dave at Camp Leadership.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah.
No problem. It's a pleasure for us to have you here.
Yeah.
Let's get started with our news about the camping industry. And I've been really busy with another project, so I didn't have very much, but it was when I did a little Google search for summer camp, one of the first things that came up was about President Obama's daughter Malia going to camp this summer for the first time. So I'll put that link in the notes, but it's kind of, I appreciate that he thinks it's important. And I think all of us can understand why he would do it. And it's great that he has, you know, made a point of giving his kids as normal a life as he can.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm. And it's funny, I'm reading the article. This is another one. Before we started recording, we were having a little discussion, as we often do, about the difference between Americans and Canadians. And this would never have made the news in Canada. Like, I don't think I even know what the Prime Minister's kids' names are. Joe, do you?
I would have to look it up.
Exactly.
But that's because we have an automaton as a as a Prime Minister right now. That's sorry. Are we keeping political content to a minimum?
We'll keep it to a minimum.
But it was interesting. I had read that article before you posted it, Travis, and mm-hmm. And it made me think of I used to work at the Taylor Statton camps, and we had Prime Minister Trudeau used to attended camp long ago, and his sons attended camp, and then the Mulroneys attended camp as well. So it is something that happens, but yeah, we wouldn't know who our Prime Minister's kids are. I could step on them on the street and not know.
Yeah. Joe, you had another link for us?
I did. I got a link last week about the Take Action Academy. As you read through the article, it's called Not Your Mom's Dad, Mom and Dad's Summer Camp. And it is the Take Action Academy is based on the Me to We project that Craig, how do I pronounce his last name?
Kilberger.
Craig and his brother had started this Me to We, which the book came out probably 6 or 7 years ago now. And it's the Take Action Academy is a summer camp based on teaching kids about to take social action and not be afraid to take social action. It's a theory of the power of youth and committed generations. Big things can be done. And so it was just a great picture into sort of what the future, especially I having done lots of research into what summer camp is and what it could be, this is part of what one of the future things of summer camp will have to entail. It'll have to be an empowering experience for kids. And this, the article goes over how it has affected the people who have attended and how great it is. So it's a good read.
And where are they running it, Joe?
This one was run in Vancouver.
Right.
But it said, if I hadn't read the article in detail in a couple of days, but they had numerous camps that have actually run. But this one is from the Vancouver Sun, and it was being run in BC, so.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. So, Dave, did you bring any links? I'm sorry I didn't ask about that specifically.
Yeah, I did. I found an interesting article, and it was about a Muslim anti-terrorism summer camp held in England, which was for children. It was interesting, just sort of piggybacking on what Joe was talking about, just how if people want to make a difference, they're working through children. Yeah. And this Muslim group sponsored this summer camp, and so they were – you know, talking with kids about, you know, to be a good Muslim, it's not necessary. It's not about terrorism. And so had hundreds that attended, and just thought it was very interesting, just in the power of summer camp and in a great way to educate children and speak to them. I thought that was a very interesting article. And I found that on yahoo.com. So it was very interesting. Yeah.
It's an interesting, I just had, we actually rent camp to a Muslim group during the summer. For a week at a time. And they're great. And it's great to have kids ask questions as well, because we can talk openly about it and walk through it. What I didn't entail is the way our camp's set up, we have two different locations that we can rent to rental groups at the same time. And we had happened to rent to the Muslim group, which we'd been doing for a number of years, and to this other group, which we'd been doing for a number of years. The other group is a Christian, Presbyterian church, but of Middle Eastern descent. And they took huge offense that we would rent to Muslims.
Oh.
And yeah, it was one of those things where it floored me that would still happen. If, you know, from the Christian standpoint, if you're following Christ's teachings, why would you ever love your neighbor, all of those things. So it was an interesting, and that was an interesting article that you mentioned, because I had read that earlier as well. And it's a great, it's knowledge is power, right? So teaching them that it's not just about terrorism, right?
Exactly. And what you mentioned earlier about, you know, it's a great place to ask questions. I always tell my staff that, you know, camp is that safe place where it's okay for kids to ask questions. And you know, what a great time to educate. Exactly.
That's a great article. If you email me that link, Dave, I'll put it in the show notes and then I'll get a chance to read it to you. But I'll put it up when we post this.
Awesome. Yep.
Okay, well, let's move us forward into today's discussion. I wanted to talk today about ending the summer. We're recording this on the 10th of August, and lots of camps are heading into their last week, second last week, or third last week, certainly in North American camps. And I wanted to hear from the two of you how you end off your summer. So they leave with a bang. You leave them wanting more, as we teach our staff to do when leading games. That they're done camp and they want to be coming back. That they're thinking about the next year, as they are driving at the driveway. So I'll give Dave a bit of a rest. Joe, why don't you tell us what you do at Pierce Williams, that or what you've done in your camp directing history.
Well, oftentimes at the end of the summer, it's really important, and that now is the time for us. I know that there's lots of camps in the southern states which have already ended their summers. School starts shortly for those kids, but there's also now is the time in our summer where I have 3 weeks left where my staff can really their energy drain can start to be seen if they don't keep up on it. And so I was saying that what we do is we tend to try and help them through these weeks by adding extra staff-only things during these 3 weeks so that they can remember the summer as a great time. And then we do an end-of-summer staff trip. I have a small staff. I have around 35 people and maybe 15 counselors in training. And at the end of each summer, we do a staff trip. Now, we've gone to places such as Canada's Wonderland, which is a Paramount theme park. We've gone to a local beach town and done a scavenger hunt. We've gone to a local sort of batting cage and go-kart place. So we do an end of summer staff trip. We have a really exciting one planned this summer because it's a trip to a global village in Michigan, a global village through Heifer International.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're taking our staff, and they're paying money to go sleep on the ground at this global village for an overnight experience, because that's something we're looking at bringing back to Canada. So that's what we do, and it's just keeping up, you know, keeping their staff morale and making sure they get their sleep. But to end the summer with a bang, we do a staff trip. They stay at camp the night before the staff trip, and then they go off after they get back from the trip. So.
And Joe, would that be like the kids would leave on one day and the trip would start that afternoon?
Well, normally the kids will leave on a Friday. Mm-hmm. The staff will have like a staff party that night where we have a special dinner, slideshow, awards for all of our staff that are tailored to the staff. And then we do the trip on the Saturday. This year it'll be a Saturday-Sunday trip because it's our first overnight trip we've ever done. And then then they go home after we get back from the trip.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, you got a wide variety of camp experience. What sort of stuff have you seen work well or done that works well to end off the summer with, you know, to bring the thinking about bringing the staff back the next year?
Yeah. You know, it's always funny at the end of the summer, I'm usually the one that's ready for everybody to go, and our staff still want to hang around. And so we always would end with a dress up dinner and slideshow and a staff gift. And we tried to do something that they would use at college. And so, you know, we gave away the camp chairs that have our, you know, our camp logo on it. We gave away Snuggies. Do you guys have Snuggies in Canada, you know, with the camp logo on them. And so something that they would use while at school, but then something to make them think about camp too. And, you know, small investment, but we just wanted them to think about camp. And then throughout the year, and this has just been a soapbox that I've been on recently, is really make them understand the skills they're learning at camp actually are usable the rest of their life. And so I've really been big into, as far as, you know, making them want to come back, is really investing in them throughout the year. And with, you know, with technology and social media, it's so easy to stay in touch with them. And so I think if they see it as a long-term value, they'll want to come back. You know, hopefully it's an enjoyable experience, but hopefully if they're finding something they're going to use, they're going to want to come back.
Awesome. I should have said in the intro that Dave, you just spoke at an Ignite conference about this very thing.
Yes, we had the inaugural Ignite Charlotte event. And if you're not familiar with it, it's a 5-minute presentation. And so you have 20 slides on a PowerPoint presentation, and they auto advance every 15 seconds. And so my topic was, if you want a successful business, then hire camp counselors, which was basically that idea of that the things that counselors are learning and using at camp every single day, they're useful for your business. And so they don't need to stay in camping. They can use these same skills doing whatever the job is.
Excellent. I watched the video this morning. You did great.
Well, thank you very much.
It's funny to watch Ignite presentations because people often, not all people, but some people get so panicky about the slides going automatically that they just freak out a bit. But you did great.
Well, thank you. It to think about getting on, because that presentation, I could do that in an hour and a half easily.
Yeah,
to get it down into 5 minutes is a lot of stress.
Right on.
It's an interesting topic because, as with Dave, it's at that point in the summer, as a camp director, you're tired. And I look forward to September when all is quiet. You know, when on the Monday morning I can walk up to the camp office and be like, oh, you know, this is good. This is good. And I've said to my staff numerous times that I purposely don't get in touch with them in September, because there's two reasons. A, I just need to contemplate my own summer, what had happened and how things went. And B, because I want them to forget all of the small hassles that might have been present right at the end of camp, right? All of the things that would irk them, that over the course of the summer started to irk them. Because by the time October comes, they've forgotten about the bad stuff, and all they can remember is how awesome camp was. And so when you ask them to become staff again in October, they're more likely to be like, oh, hey, yeah, that's great. And so it's a sort of trick getting staff to the end of the summer, getting them to want to come back is all about here. And where I've been in the past is reminding them about what we expect. Right. So if they know that, so for example, at Pierce Williams, we've taken a stronger stance on who we'll have back. We only allow back people who rate a 1 and a 2 on our scale of 4, or 1 to 4. And now is the time where people will slip from a 2 to a 3, right? We'll slip from being someone who we would have back to someone who there's some issues with that lead to problems. And so it's just constantly reminding them that you want to be a 1 or a 2. You don't want to be a 3.
And if you're a 4, you don't care anyway.
Oh, if they're a 4, they have been fired long ago. But you can become a 4 just like that. Yeah. poor decisions lead to being a 4.
When I was directing, and this tradition carries on through these days, we're still, my wife and I are still involved in the camp that we directed at, just sort of in an advisory capacity. We did a couple of things at the end of the summer. Things I think every camp does, like, you know, we all pitch in together and buy a shirt or a hat or something, or some people buy 12 somethings that all say staff 2010 on them. That's just unique to that year. And I think everybody camp does that. The other thing that we did is our kids would go home by 11 on Saturday, and then the staff would have to clean and pack and empty out their cabins and sort of bring all of their gear into center camp so that we could know that everything had been sort of cleaned and washed up. And then, you know, cabins would get inspected and we'd be like, okay, the afternoon is yours. Do with it what you will. We're going to have dinner. And by usually the long weekend in August, so the weekend in the middle of July and August, they would get an invitation from the board of directors of our camp inviting them to a closing dinner that the board puts on for them. So alumni and board members come up and cook and serve the staff one final meal on the Saturday night. So they have the afternoon to sort of play together and get dressed up, like it sounds like you do too, Dave, or you have done in the past. Get your fancy dress on and come to the banquet. And always amazing food, good theme. And we always thought it was really important that the staff could see the appreciation from the board and from the alumni that for the job that they've done that summer. So we try to get as many back as we can to just, so they just have to sit and we look after everything for them. But the other thing that we did sort of came out of our very first big board dinner. The theme was Christmas. And so because of that, there were Christmas presents. And it wasn't a present from the camp to the staff. It was a present from the staff members to each other. So everybody got one name and had to get a present for someone else on staff. The rules were simple. You couldn't buy something. You had to make something. So staff would know 3 weeks or a month from previous to the dinner who their person was, and then would have all that time to make something for that person. And as that tradition has carried on for the last 10 years, people that have been on staff before know sort of what's expected. And some people plan all year for the present that they're going to make, not even knowing who that they are making a present for. So we've had a number of quilts, handmade quilts made by staff, and, you know, wood carvings, and our maintenance guy had this cool trick. He makes birch bark canoes where he soaks the birch bark and then wraps around a soup can and, you know, hand stitches the bow and the stern, and pretty amazing. But the staff just sort of, not really competitive, but just wanting to give something to somebody on staff that they've worked with, they've shared this experience with, they just go all out and put hours into this. So often you find on that Saturday afternoon when all the cleaning's done, everybody goes and finishes their present because they've sort of planned it. Some of them have had some time to work on it, but lots of them haven't got it finished before that couple of hours of got to get this done before dinner. So that tradition has been something that I think that the staff really look forward to and leaves everybody with a personal memento of their summer, you know, as a way, the thing that they take, their last memory of camp.
That's a great idea. Your last day of camp sounds very similar to what I was used to, but I love the idea of the staff making something for each other as a memory of camp, because it becomes personal then. That's what a great idea.
Well, and the presents, honestly, the presents are amazing. And so if you've been on staff for a number of years, you try to always influence the person who picks the name, because names aren't really random. They're sort of random, but just want to make sure that the partnerships sort of work. I don't give a present to you while you give one to me. Like, you give it to me and I give it to somebody else, but you sort of just keep an eye on who the things go. So people have been on staff, figure out who is making up the list of who gets what presents and tries to influence who that they get as their name. So if they want to make something special for, you know, a special friend or someone that they know, it's their last year of camp and this will be the last thing that they have. Are there any other ideas, guys, before, or things you've seen or heard of that are good ways to end off the summer?
I know that sometimes it's not to end off the summer, but as you said, making gifts, that's a great thing. And I've seen, I know the Taylor Satin Camps, they did that. There's also the idea of a staff auction as well. Mm-hmm. So if the camp has its own bursary fund, or if it has a somewhere where it can send the money, the United Way or wherever, there's the opportunity for them to make things that then get auctioned off to other staff members. And so it's staff buying things other staff have made. The same concept as giving it, but in the end you raise money for a fund. Mm-hmm. And so that's a great way to sort of keep them interested in and sort of move them towards the fact that they're helping campers come to camp as well. So
that's a great idea. I like that.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. And do you guys, or have you seen, you know, middle of the year regatherings of the summer staff, I guess like a reunion, mm-hmm. but just from the previous summer?
Yes, definitely.
Our staff's a bit, because our staff are all local, they get together all the time. And so it's something that sort of happens without us even trying, which is a great, which is exactly what we want to see. So,
yeah, our staff had a mid-year get together as a fundraiser. So it's almost like what you're talking about, but we sponsored a road race, like a running race. And it was a fundraiser for scholarships for camp. And so it was a great reconnection point for our summer staff to get together.
Oh, that's great. And the camp that I was directing always had a staff Christmas party that would be sort of depending on how school and Christmas worked out, but would be one day during the staff Christmas break. And it would be the first chance that the leaders in training from the summer would have to be invited to something special that was just for staff. So if there were formal or informal reunions in the fall, excuse me, the LATs would not be invited. But when it came to Christmas, that would be their first chance to sort of step up and be with the staff. And that was always at the time when applications were due. So it'd be the first introduction to, hey, these are the people you're going to work with next year.
Yeah, got it.
Cool. Well, those are great ideas, guys. I think at this point, we'll just move on to our picks of the week and get ready to say goodbye. So Dave, since you're the new guy,
yeah,
we'll let you go last. We'll give you a chance. Joe, I'm going to let you start.
My pick of the week is a website called productivity501.com, and it's a blog I've been following for, two or three years now, and essentially it's just ideas on how to be more productive. And the articles come out, there's an email newsletter that comes out once a week, and it made me think of it today when the newsletter came that said solving the wrong problems. And a lot of times at summer camp I have this feeling that summer camp staff sometimes... the longer you've been at camp as a director and the more times you've let people figure out that when you say that doesn't work, you mean that doesn't work because you've tried it before, mm-hmm. You know, they're trying to solve the wrong problem. And so it was an interesting article, and 501 productivity 501 has been something I've been reading up on for years. So it's a great website to check out and a great tool to use as a camp person.
That's awesome. Thank you. I'll go with mine. Mine is probably one of the cheapest picks I've ever had, considering I had the most expensive pick ever when I picked a tractor. this is a fairly inexpensive trick, and it's one of the least serious camp director tools ever. But it's something that I think is fun, and I used mine all the time when I was a camp director and loved it. Mine is the, my pick is the AirZooka from ThinkGeek.com. And the AirZooka is a toy that's, I don't know, 12 inches long and round, probably 8 inches or 9 inches widest, and has a handle on it, and has an elastic on the back of it. So it looks like a sort of shaped like a garbage can with the small end cut out as well. And on the top end of that garbage can, there's an elastic band with a big plastic bellows that you pull back and snap. And because of the shape of the AirZooka, it forms a little vortex of air that travels in a straight line for an incredible distance, like 30 or 40 feet on a calm day. So I could sit in one side of the dining hall and send this little puff of air that'd be enough to sort of push someone's hair back off their face across the whole dining hall. And it's awesome because you would let it go, and it takes some time to get there. So you'd let it go, and you'd count and be like one, one and a half, and then all of a sudden, poof, and get the person right in the face. And I've seen this.
Those are very funny.
Yes. There's no serious purpose for that, but it, I thought it was a fun toy. And fun to play with kids when when it's a hot day and you're just having some time goofing around with kids. It's always fun. So my tool, my pick is the AirZooka from ThinkGeek.
Very
Dave, what's
nice.
Your pick?
My pick is, it's a website called thebigdealguys.com. And it's a friend of mine. His name is Michael Hahn, and he is on staff at Forest Hills Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. And he is, I guess he's a tinkerer. He seems to be able to make everything. And so it is part blog, part how-to videos, how to make all kinds of things. And it's great. They're short videos, and it's a fun place for camp directors to go to get ideas. He's just an idea man. And so it's thebigdealguys.com. I go here all the time just to see what they're up to, what they're building. And so they build cool things, and they show you how to do it in simple steps. And so it's useful for summer camp.
That's awesome. That is a perfect pick of the week for both Joe and I, because that's exactly the sort of thing that we both love.
Yeah.
Hands-on stuff. And we featured Instructables a number of times as our pick of the week, different Instructables as picks of the week. So it fits in perfectly with the Camp Nation history.
Good pick. Great.
Joe, have you seen that site?
No, I'm looking at it right now.
That's why you're so quiet?
Well, I was thinking that, there's another guy that I follow, Dudecraft, mm-hmm. and it is like Manly Crafts, which are two words I'm not sure you put together that often. but you know, I can be there. I'm there. And so he's based in Durham, North Carolina, and his blog is updated with like the coolest stuff, and he makes stuff. And so it made me think of that. I was like, wow, maybe North Carolina is this hotbed of tinkerers. I don't
yeah.
know.
And so his is Dudecraft.
Yeah, it's Dudecraft.com. His name is Paul Overton, and it's funny. Do you ever do things at camp? So here's a short story that has nothing to do with anything we're discussing right now, but anyway, we'll discuss it because that's the way Joe's mind works. So one of the things years ago growing up at Canisary Camp, which is a United Church camp by my where I grew up, and we had this this radio show started in the morning. Wasn't broadcast. It's literally just doing announcements after breakfast in a more engaging way. And so we had this radio show starting, and so it took off, and it's been going now for probably 20 years at the camp it started at. And this year, my summer director, who'd spent a week at Canisary many years ago, said, I'd love to do a radio show. And I said, okay, you can go ahead and do a radio show. And then she started the radio show, but it was just two people sitting at a table reading announcements. And I was like, it needs to have a bit more, you know, pizzazz. Can I do it for a week to show you how? And she's like, oh, it's our thing. And I was like, oh, okay, well, your thing sucks. So we're going to liven it up. And then she just stalked away. And it's funny because this will make her listen to the podcast. And so in the end, we have this whole production. We have a red flashing light, on off signs, applause signs. It's much more interactive now, and it's to the point, somebody made the great point on staff that the radio show, if the campers aren't going to miss it, then why would you do it, right? If what it should be is if it didn't happen, that campers are like, where's the radio show? Like, what happened?
Right.
And so we've created that sort of atmosphere. But I was reading this guy, Dudecraft, his name is Paul Overton. And just the other day, I was recording a pre-recorded bit for the radio show on my iPhone. And there's the obligatory iPhone reference. I was recording the bit, and I had said, this is Paul Overton reporting for PWCC 19.6. And I had no idea where the name came from. And then I log on to Dudecraft. And I was like, oh, that's who it is. So that's a long story to relate to Dudecraft. So, and now we have a group of people at camp who are actually the producers of the radio show. So we have the hosts who have very little to do with the creative content. And then we have like four or five producers.
That's a great idea. Well, fellas, I thank you very much for being here today.
Thanks for having us. This is it's a great sort of break in the middle of a camp.
So. Well, I'm grateful that I work in an office in Mississauga, so I'm glad that both of you who have real camp duties are able to take the time and set aside the time for me. So that's great. Thank you.
Yeah, there are days I'm still surprised people pay me to do this. So
that's awesome. That's great. Good to hear. It's good to hear. What I'll do is I'll get you both to just sign off and tell us where people can find you on the internet. Dave, how about you first?
Thanks so much for having me. This is Dave Bell, and you can find me at www.campleadership.org or on Twitter at Camp Leadership.
My name's Joe Richards. I'm the executive director at Pierce Williams Christian Center. You can find us at campisbetter.com. You can find me on Twitter at YoYoJoeR. That's YoYoJoeR. And you can check out other things I do at YoYoJoe.com.
Thank you both. And I'm blogging at campnation.ca. And thanks, Joe, for your additions to Camp Nation. The last couple of weeks have been great. I also blog daily at ourkids.net/blog. My professional Twitter is at ourkidsnet. And my personal stuff, which tends to have a little bit more camp stuff, is at Zoic, which is Z-O-I-C or Z-O-I-C, for those of you south of the border. So I thank you both for being here. I also wanted to take a quick moment and give thanks to our long-suffering audio editor, Donovan Romanek, from whereitsatproductions.ca. And honestly, thank you both for meeting here with me on Skype today. And to our listeners, we really appreciate you taking the time to download the Camp Nation podcast. If you could take a second and go to iTunes and give us a little review or a rating there, it helps us get recognized in iTunes as and show up in search a little better. And it helps us know what you like and what you like about the show. So feel free to send us your comments or feedback by Twitter. And you can always find our show notes on campnation.ca. Thanks, fellas.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the evening, friends.
This Camp Nation podcast was brought to you by Our Kids Go to Camp magazine and the camps.ca online summer camp directory. Thanks for listening.